If Lambs Could Kill, featuring Knife City, A Quickness, Bright, and Hot Sauce.
Welcome, welcome to episode 4 of If Lambs Could Kill. I'm your boy, Knife City.
I'm A Quickness.
Hot Sauce.
And Reich.
And yeah, woo, episode 4. It feels like we're doing big things.
Great things.
Which we're probably not. We're just sitting in my garage playing Magic. But I know we mentioned it on each of the rest of the podcasts, but we have our Facebook up. Go ahead and like us on there. We are on MTG Cast. We are on Shout Engine. And thanks to Hot Sauce over here throwing down an investment, we have a bunch of Versus videos on YouTube. Just mostly with our homebrews or going up against Mono Blue or whatever. But yeah, check us out. We're doing the fucking deal, I guess. I
mean, interesting things.
Interesting things. All right, so let's hop into it. What is new? Did anybody grow any like third arms or fucking anything this couple weeks?
God, I wish, dude. I could use another arm. Get a lot more done.
It'd be nice for when you're trying to scry, you have that third arm.
Yeah, when I'm shuffling like together. That commander deck, dude. I need another hand.
I think I'd rather have a third leg.
Bigger third leg?
The bigger third leg. It's more important right now.
Yeah, nothing too crazy for me. We're just kind of recovering from the festivities that we had last night. I got a little carried away with my alcohol consumption.
Yeah, a little birthday party yesterday.
And got some bubble guts. You can look that up. That's a technical term.
Yeah. Doctor.
WebMD that.
Yeah, WebMD that.
We're sorry, Mrs. Jockins. I had the bubble guts.
You had the bubble guts. I'm sorry. It's terminal. Oh, shit. Yeah, other than that, fucking just Magic, watching Magic, playing Magic, living Magic, breathing Magic.
Ooh.
Feels good.
Oh, yeah.
At my new job, I just sat at a computer all day, so I was able to install Steam on the computer, and I put Duels of the Planeswalker on there. So it's not like Modo, but I'm able to get my Magic fix, and I was playing with Hot Sauce the other day while I was at work, and so it keeps me entertained, and I look up fucking Magic shit all day long, reading articles, looking up finance. It's pretty much what I've been up to. Job's good.
They paying you?
They're
making money on this?
Yeah. Yes.
They're just supplying food? Or
yeah, money? Actually, getting paid pretty good. I got to do my own taxes, though, because like I'm an independent contractor, technically. So I don't know how to do my own taxes.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, I've enlisted the help of my girlfriend's sister, because she's been doing my taxes for the past couple years, so she knows about that shit. So shouldn't be too hard.
Nice.
I'm an old man now. Like, I've just accepted the fact that I'm turning into an old man, because like there'll be like kids playing like on the hill next to my house. I'm like, hey, watch out, you damn kids! And like, and I just got a fence put in. And I'm really like excited about my fence.
I know that's such an exciting thing. It's just like, oh, I got a fence up. Like,
some good
check
looking
it out.
Wood up there.
I know.
Yeah, I got some good looking wood up.
Jeez.
But
we are old now.
Yeah, there's nothing. I didn't like, you know, go skinny dipping with hot babes or anything. Nothing exciting.
Not this week.
Not this weekend. Stay tuned.
Yeah, we'll get a video up of that.
Yeah.
I can say I got my wisdom teeth removed, so that's about it. So I've had like a shitty week, all zonked out on Vicodin or whatever they gave me. And we recorded a couple of Versus videos. If you guys see them, you'll see how fucking, it's just terrible. I mean, even right now, I don't sound right now, I'll say that much. I sound a little off, but no, that's it. I mean, it was a pretty basic 2 weeks, nothing too exciting since last podcast. Rough. What about you, Quickness?
Nothing much really is happening. I've just been going through my Moto collection and trying to offload some cards maybe. I have like a couple modern decks that are tier 1.5. and they're not the greatest. The way the metagame's going in that is, you know, they're not going to be playing this type of deck. So, but with a lot of the cards I have, you know, I can get a lot of tickets, and you know, I'm hoping to possibly buy more cards and brew with them, or get some drafting in.
Yay, so, drafting!
More cards is always good.
Oh, yeah, so we just did a draft right before we started this podcast. We were thinking we'd do the podcast first. We're like,
we're
exciting. Well, you know, to have something to talk about, you know, just a little extra thing on the podcast. But besides that, we all want to draft so fucking bad.
I was so excited today. I was so excited to come here with, like, fucking all these packs and just ready to crack them. Yeah.
I'll just say right now, Hot Sauce fucking lost his ass today. yeah. Green Red Monsters. Didn't have any monsters, just green red cards.
Green red garbage.
I lost every game I played. I got like close on a couple of games, but really, I mean, it's pretty bad.
This was the first time we all drafted Theros Born together.
Right.
Yeah. So that was...
No, that was good. That was a really good format. I liked it a lot.
We opened good packs for the most part. Not Born, but the Theros packs are good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get crazy money cards, but we got some good solid limited cards.
Yeah, unfortunately, Knife City did not pull any money.
None of us pulled anything really worth more than a couple bucks, right?
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good, though. We had some good decks. I mean,
you had the Hot Sauce had the green red, you know.
Garbage.
Garbage.
Kitties. Yeah. I was in, came in third. I had a, blue white.
Tempo Flyers?
I don't know. It was Sun Cats. Blue-white Sun Cats.
It was like blue-white Flyers. I tried to get into like blue-white enchantments, but that didn't work out, so I ended up... I mean, I did have some enchantments and some enchantment-based instances and stuff, but for the most part, it was blue-white Flyers with some other cool shit. The highlight was I put Gift of Immortality on my Omen speaker, so I was just scrying like nobody's business, which was awesome.
No, it was not awesome.
That was sweet.
That is a great mechanic.
I had to live with a stupid Omen speaker with Gift in it.
I didn't actually get to play against Knife City with that combo or whatever. So did he just keep attacking into you guys and you guys kept blocking, or did you let him go, or did you kill it, or what?
Just attacked in because I was heroic deck splashing some blue, and like I couldn't let him like go late game or else I'd just be overrun. All my threats would be non-threatening pretty much.
Right.
So I had to force damage through, and every time he had that block and.
That sounds deadly.
It wasn't good.
That's great.
Unfortunately, it didn't win me the game, but or the match. But whoa. I mean, that was just a fun combo that I didn't see until I pulled the cards in my hand and I was like, oh sweet.
Yeah, well, I don't think anything could have helped against the quickness of his deck because his deck was just insane bonkers good.
Yeah. What was Reich? What'd you draft?
I drafted
second place.
I actually went out a little bit of my comfort zone and drafted black because I never get black. I'm usually doing green, red, or white and white red. But I did green black, which was actually really nice. I pulled a guild on my first pack, and that kind of solidified my going into black. And then I ended up picking up a Whip of Erebos, which was sweet, and it didn't help me at all, but I still picked it anyways.
Because nobody was in black, so you just had your pick.
Yeah, like nobody went in black, so I had pretty much all the black to myself, which was really nice. But yeah, the green cards I got were pretty nice too. Just green's just really good in Theros and in Born, just big monsters. And I love green. I love monsters. Give me more monsters. But yeah, other than that, I mean, I came in second, so it must have been something.
Quick, why don't you tell them how you did it?
I came in first, of course. No. You know, it's kind of hard to beat the red-white aggro deck.
It was so fast is the problem. It was so quick. His deck was like, literally, you're dead in like five turns if you got what he needed.
A bunch of, you know, heroic guys, a bunch of, like, combat tricks, and then, like, my blue splash were for, like, tempo-y type stuff, which is really, I think, what the deck wanted. So, like, Voyage's End, Sudden Storm. I threw in, like, an Ordeal of Thassa, because that's kind of along the same lines of what I want to be doing, especially if I'm a low-curve aggro deck. I'm going to unload my hand really quickly, and the Thassa was there just to help refill my hand, pretty much, with gas.
That was a good deck.
I could keep going. Yeah, you know, I had, of course, the stupid Omen Speaker Elixir guy to face down, but that didn't work for him, so, you know.
Not enough.
Almost.
I had, like, you know, Wingsteeds, you know, it was all right. It wasn't really what the red-white wanted, but I was able to put it together.
No, it was a lot of fun just getting together. Yeah. To do the draft.
I don't know why, but I was just extra excited for the draft. Like, you know, I guess we draft every week or every other week, and I don't know, I was just super stoked for it. So.
Well, this is our first time doing the Theros Born of the Gods pack.
Yeah, which is always really exciting. I think we should try and do, like, a different, like draft. Yeah, do, like, a standard draft, and then, like, and then throw in, like, a kind of crazy, you know, not crazy, but just kind of different than normal draft.
I agree. Yeah, just do, like, it up a little bit. normal, different, you know. Yeah,
because I like doing the normal, you know, whatever standard is, because we get to pull cards that we might play with or trade or whatever. And it helps us in when we draft online or, you know, whatever. But I also just like doing kind of crazy stuff where I don't know what I should do.
Yeah, we should maybe
and nobody knows what they're going to do, but it's just fun to figure
like,
out.
Just a few, like maybe a draft from like maybe the previous set or like, you know, a set, like a couple sets back that are not super crazy expensive.
I heard triple Innistrad was really fun. So I don't know if you guys want to try and do that.
We'll have to see how much the packs are, how much they're
yeah.
per pack. Because I know Innistrad, like a box of Innistrad is like pretty expensive because yeah. there's a lot of good cards in there.
Wasn't the like expensive-ass Liliana
yeah.
in Innistrad?
Yeah, she was in that set.
It was. Liliana of the Veil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like a $40 card right now, I think.
Really? I thought she was more expensive than that.
Is she more than that?
Like oh. 70 or something.
Oh, wow.
I think she might have dropped, actually, with the recent banning of Deathrite Shaman.
Yeah.
Because now you can't reliably turn 2 Liliana anymore. You have to wait for turn 3. Because Deathrite with the fetches gave you the extra land you can come off of. And then, you know, you have a turn 3 or turn 2 Liliana, which is insane. Because
yeah.
you can start disrupting their hand by making them discard, or you can start making them sacrifice stuff. And it's just... It's insane.
Yeah, it's a really good card, too. But yeah, I definitely want to try something like that, where we can just do like sets that we don't really know, that was before our time, before we started playing, just to get more, you know, just to have fun, and then maybe even get more knowledge of the cards, and maybe even, you know, pull a money card or something. You never know.
Yeah.
And help start building up our
modern decks.
Yeah, our modern
stuff. I definitely want to start, like...
Let's do Power 9. Let's do Alpha. We'll do an Alpha draft.
Okay.
Unopened packs of Magic Alpha.
I don't have $1,000. Like, I don't even think there is unopened packs of Alpha
anymore. I'm sure there's a warehouse like in China or something. We can just like track down. They just have like boxes of Magic cards all sitting there. But yeah, top men are on it.
Top men.
I want to start. I don't want to start like, okay, so I've been listening to other podcasts and they're saying that.
What? Betrayed.
There's other podcasts.
No. What
the hell's wrong with you?
That's treason in the highest form.
20 lashings. So they were talking about how, like, modern's, like, blowing up right now. And so all the staples and shit are just going up in price. And so I don't necessarily want to start, like, trying to jump in and, like, get modern staples. What I want to try and start doing is getting cards that are... Whatever cards are in standard
that
are going to go into modern or could go into some good modern decks, I want to start just building up on those.
I think a lot of modern decks are even playing on some of the cards that are in Born right now. Like the Courser of Krufrix. That's
Courser, yeah.
That's being seen playing like maybe one or two of in, and then you know, some other cards.
Spirit of the Labyrinth is played in deck Death and Taxes and like legacy decks.
Yeah, so it's definitely there. So yeah, that's a really good idea though. I agree with that completely. Instead of trying to pick up these like $100, you know, modern cards that've been out forever and
like,
you know,
Snapcaster. Snapcaster was like a $15-$20 card, and after this most recent Pro Tour, which was a modern Pro Tour, Snapcaster went up to like $40, $50, and they're expecting a ceiling of like $80-$90.
I think it's crazy how modern's blown up. Like, I think it's because Wizards. They're all. I think the GP was like what they did a few GP Grand Prix or whatever that were just modern only.
Yeah.
Or it was like a sealed format, and then it was modern.
Yeah,
there was no standard. So I think they're trying to push it, which is cool.
There's like a season. So like,
oh, it does a season.
This is modern season.
Oh, okay.
We're technically in. So like, you go modern, and then, you know, after modern season, it goes back to standard, where the Pro Tours will be playing standard decks again.
Yeah, but I definitely feel a lot of people are now starting to get into modern more than standard. Well, I mean, not more than standard, but like a lot of the people that played standard, I feel like are kind of venturing into modern, which I still need to do. I would love to do.
Like, I don't know what piqued my interest, because I was almost, not against modern, but I was like, yeah, I'll get into it somewhere down the line, you know? Like, I'd rather build my commander deck, but for some reason, like, modern just started piquing my interest. I guess I started watching a little bit more coverage, or just listen to podcasts, and they would talk about modern, and so I just learned a little bit more about it. So, what I'm doing right now, which is on the cheaper side of preparing for modern, is I'm just picking up as many shocklands as I can get my hands on. Like, I'm still in the process of getting a playset of each, but after I get a playset of each, I want to just buy extra, you know, to be able to sell later on down the road, because, I mean, shocklands see play in modern all the fucking time. I don't know about Legacy.
I think they probably you don't see shocklands in Legacy because they actually have the true dual lands, yeah, which are dual color lands.
They don't come untapped.
They don't come untapped. You don't have to pay 2 life to have them bring in tapped, you know. But, you know, these lands are like $100, $200 a piece. Like,
no one doubt
your mana base for a Legacy deck is roughly going to be like $400 or $500 just right off the bat. Like, there's, like, no Legacy deck that's under $1,000.
That's almost like a modern, though. I mean, for a modern mana base, you're spending at least, like, what, $300?
I heard you could build a relatively cheap Goblins deck on Legacy.
Monocolored decks, of course.
Yeah.
Any monocolored deck, it's going to be really easy to
build. Well, yeah, the mana base that cuts down, like, $100. Yeah,
but it's still, like, probably as much as a really good standard deck, like $200-$300. Yeah. But, I mean, I guess Goblins saw, like, some top 16 action recently or something like that. Yeah. I don't really know. So, I mean, it's, you know, might not win a tournament, but I think there's more. What I was hearing about it was there's a little bit more variance. Like, any given Sunday, no pun intended, you know, any Legacy deck can really, you know, win the gold or whatever.
And that's why I think, like, I really like the older formats, is because you have so many cards to pull from. It's more about, like, playing to the meta. It's not playing, okay, I'm going to play control like in standard, or I'm going to play mono black. You know, there's some fringe cases where you have, like, these decks that are brewed that, like, just catch the meta off guard, but, you know, eventually they're going to catch up. I just think that, you know, there's more diversity in these older formats than the cut and dry standard.
So,
yeah, so many cards to pull from, but yeah,
I agree. Exactly. I agree. And there's a lot more, like, interactions, and, you know, there's combo decks, there's fair decks. You know, you don't have a combo deck in standard. Wizards of the Coast specifically stated they don't really want to produce any more combo-y decks for standard. They move the combo into ramp. That's pretty much the combo decks.
Ramp.
Exactly. I love ramp.
Is ramping and just the fatties and just, like, turning them sideways.
Oh, now you're talking. Tell me about those fatties.
It's kind of like...
I think you're getting a fatty right now.
Me and Rife were on Skype talking and watching the Star City Open, and they had, like, a Rug Devotion deck, where, like, he had, like, literally, like, 9-10 creatures on the board. Just from, it was Nykthos and Prime Speaker and stuff like that.
What is Rug, by the way?
Red, blue, green.
Red,
blue.
Ah!
So fun. That deck that we saw on the, it was like a fringe deck or whatever, but it was so cool because he just, he would get, like, you know, like 20 mana and just, like, blah, 9 creatures.
He'd get 20 mana, he draw, like, 15 cards, and then all of a sudden, like, at the end of his turn, he's like, he has no cards left in his hand again. You're just like, how do you do that?
But, like, he almost decked himself because, like, Garruk and then Prime Seeker Zakana and just all this card draw he had. It was a crazy combo. It was really cool. Yeah. I want to do that.
It was cool, but it's one of those, like, fringe cases we were talking about.
Well, he got blown out by a guy, the control guy. He had a Quicken.
Yeah, Quicken Supreme Verdict.
Which is the Quickens where it's like a one blue mana, and it allows you to cast sorceries as an instant speed.
And you get to draw a card.
Quicken, like, I don't use it, but I want to use it.
That's
sweet fun. Fucking card.
Dude. Quicken is like a card that I like. It's a one mana cantrip that allows me to do something else, and it's just
so cool.
I love the low casting cards that are really impactful.
So, speaking of finance, what from the current block are we really looking forward to, like, picking up now before they get all huge?
Like a speculation?
Yeah, kind of like a speculation, because, you know, in what, 4 months, 3 months?
Journey, and then we have M15.
Which Journey is coming out. Remember when I texted you and I said it's coming out, and you're
like March.
It's March 2nd. It's next month.
Yeah.
Is the pre-release at least?
We still have April to go to.
I think.
I'm just saying it's March now. Someone said March 2nd. It's not March 2nd.
No,
it's April.
It's like in a month is the pre-release.
Right.
Okay.
Because it seemed to come really quick.
Yeah.
Like it kind of snuck up on us. So we got Journey into Nyx. We got M15. And then whenever the next expansion comes out after that, that's when rotation happens.
Called like Huey, Dewey, and Lewis or something like that.
Yeah.
They're code name for them. We don't know the real names yet. I like that.
So, you know, pretty relatively soon where rotation's going to happen. So what cards are we really looking at to like get a hold of before they just go bonkers? Because once rotation happens, things are going to need to be replaced.
Oh, yeah.
Key cards are going to go out and going to need to find new ones.
To be like a Desecration Demon type blown up.
Exactly.
Or, Night Veil Spectre was kind of a thing because it was Devotion, but no one could really foresee Devotion.
Exactly. That shot up. Yeah, of
course. Like Rats, too, but I mean, that's just because Devotion was so powerful that Mono Black just solidified at top's place.
Right.
And so
that just helped it. But I think I picked up four of the Prognostic Sphinxes for like 30 cents or something like that, just in case, because I think if you watch, Quickness and I watch a lot of streaming, people that play Magic, and we watch a guy named Darkest Mage, and he plays Block on Magic Online, and I think Block is really the way to kind of like gauge what cards are going to be good if you watch like the, you know, because they're playing like, Theros and Born of the Gods are the two sets they play in Block. But, the Prognostic Sphinx, dude, I think that's going to be a good blue card. So I end up picking up four of them. It's like a 5 mana, though, but it's...
You know what? It's weird that you said that, because I was looking at it in my fucking trade binder, and I was just, like, staring at it, like, that's such a good card.
You
like, in and of
three.
Itself, it's a 3/5
for
it's fucking...
a huge body.
For 5. Flying, and you get Descry 3 whenever it attacks, right?
Yeah, when you attack.
And then you discard a card, and it has Hexproof until end of turn. Like, it just, like, you know, like, it something doesn't hit you until it hits you, you know? Like, I've seen that card a million times, and it didn't really hit me that, like, fuck, dude, that's, like, a really good fucking card. Like, it doesn't have a home right now. It might not have a home, but like you said, for what, 30 cents or whatever you can pick up a playset.
It's like you pay like $1.20. Like, oh, okay, nothing. It doesn't take off. Oh, well, big deal. You have, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever, you blew $1.30 or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I think the big breakout cards, like, this isn't even speculation, just Pelucranos and Stormbreath Dragon. Like,
yeah, red green is really strong, I feel like. It's going to be crazy good once everything rotates out.
I think those, I mean, they're already kind of, obviously Stormbreath Dragon is like $20.
That'll be good for the whole time.
Yeah.
It'll just be up there the whole time. It's not going down.
It's a dragon. It's
and then Pelucranos is dragon. $8 or something. So, I mean, I might not go in on Stormbreath Dragon just because fucking $20, dude. Like, if it goes down to 15, maybe I'll pick up a couple. But I definitely want to get a playset of Pelucranoses. And then, I mean, those are the
Courser of Kufrix, I'd say pick up now. You should have picked them up probably, you know,
I think
a
you
couple
pick up
weeks ago.
The Prophet of Kufrix or whatever that one
Prophet,
is.
Prophet, yeah, that could be
that
good.
That thing's
too.
Only like $2 and everything, and that's going to, I feel
that's
like it's going to find a home sometime
target.
In the next year and a half, you know?
Yeah.
I like that for spec too. But I mean, yeah, definitely Courser of Kufrix is one of those you probably should be getting now if you haven't already got them.
Also, Heroes Downfalls are cheap right now. They're like down to, I bought mine for like $4.80. And those are going to, same thing, that's going to be the removal. Dreadboar's going away. There's like a lot of, there's no like Planeswalkers and this. There's that one Faded.
Faded Retribution. Or Collaboration. Yeah, that's it.
That one, you can do that. That's fine. But that's expensive and it's 4 red, so you can't fucking play it.
Faded Retribution is actually another one that does hit Planeswalkers. It's 7 mana, though.
Oh, right.
To get to it.
That's everything,
and then you have like Heroes Downfall. Those are like the 3 that actually will get through and reliably take out a Planeswalker for you.
Is Guild going to do anything? Not really.
It's
sweet,
dude,
right? But I think we like it, but I mean, is it going to do anything?
That is my speculation. Like, they're cheap as fuck, and it's black unconditional removal, so I'm just going to pick a shitload of them up, like, just in case, you know?
I don't think it's going to, like, blow up to be, like, a $10 card. I'm sure it'll probably go up to maybe a few dollars if it's not there already now, if it sees play, but I mean, I think it is kind of slow for
removal. Yeah, it's just a...
For a standard
it's
removal,
It's one too expensive.
If they reprint some kind of black removal in Journey to the Nyx or the next expansion or M15, then I don't think it's going to blow up. But I mean, if they don't reprint a good black removal, which they probably will.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see like Tragic Slip again or something like that.
That would be sweet.
What's that?
Tragic Slip is so sick, dude.
Yeah. Or Doomblade again. I'm sure we'll see Doomblade reprint.
Yeah.
I think Guild is more of a limited card than it is a standard. It's, first of all, it's sorcery speed. It costs 4 mana, 3-4 mana or something like that. It does exile, which is really key. I think exile is a huge thing.
Yeah.
Especially with all the gods and the indestructibility and stuff like that. I think it's going to be really good, but I don't see it finding a home anywhere.
Dude, I have it in my hand, and if I see a planeswalker come about, I go, God, I wish this was not what this is.
Yeah.
Like, it's frustrating, even though you have to exile and it has a lot of special stuff. Having that Hero's Downfall is like, oh, I can do anything.
Like, if it said exile, target non-land permanent, I'd be all over it.
But that would be like, that's too powerful a card. That's not, it's not a thing.
Sorcery speed, 4 mana. Yeah, I think it's okay. But
if it just said destroy target creature, I would not give it a second look.
No, exactly.
But it says exile.
Right, no, fair
so
enough.
So that just deals with a lot of shit. It's so unconditional, minus hexproof. Right. But it's so good. But I think Herald of Torment.
I was just going to say that.
Our beards were tingling, dude.
Man.
I think Herald of Torment's really going to go up.
You're a real piece of shit, you know that?
You stole it.
It's seeing some play right now, but it's just so good. The bestow cost. Black just seems to get fucked on bestow cost. The bestow cost is always like so expensive.
What's
for black.
What's the bestow on that?
It's 3 black for a 3/3 flyer.
Which, no, that's fine. For that one's good. That's remembered shit. Yeah.
So for black, that's fucking awesome. I think I have 2. I want to pick up some more. Definitely at least a playset,
I've seen it in play, just online this and that. I'm like, that's a fucking good card, It's hard to deal with. It comes out quick, and it's going to get in for 2 turns or something at least, It's just a pain in the ass to deal with.
Yep. I think Anger of the Gods, too, might be a good pickup.
Anger of the Gods, yes, definitely. I would suggest getting 4 copies at least.
Yeah, if you don't have that yet.
Anger of the Gods. Like I said, it deals, 3 damage to everything, but it also exiles them if they die that turn, too. They could die, and then you're gonna have your triggers or whatnot happen if they have something like that with it. But other than that, it's gonna get exiled, and I think exiling something is the way to go.
Oh yeah,
and it's that turn too. So if you have a second spell in your hand, like say you didn't take care of something that was indestructible, this and that, but if you were to minus it or some other kind of effect you had in your hand to take that thing away, now it's exiled. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Instead of just being destroyed and whatever else. Exactly. So, and that, the 3 will just bring it down to a reasonable number to kill something else. There's some things that I've dealt with, like planeswalkers, where it does a 3 damage or whatever, and then in that same, I would just also top it off with something else, and then it would exile it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever. Something like that. There's things to do it.
So I understand why this card isn't highly played, but it's just so good that something has to be done with it. The Arbor Colossus.
Oh, yeah. I think Monsters play some of those.
Yeah?
Yeah. If you're not playing Dragons.
It's a sideboard card.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're not playing the Stormbreath Dragons, you're pretty much playing Arbor Colossus.
Yeah.
I think there might be a heavy green devotion deck. Because, you would need to do that to play Arbor Colossus. There's ways around it, but, you need the heavy, heavy, heavy green, if not just flat-out mono green. But I think that would see play.
You know what I have to say to that?
What?
Still dies to Doomblade.
Yeah, dies. Dies to Hero's Downfall.
There's actually
still dies to Doomblade.
A Twitter
dies
to
Ultimate
account.
Price.
It's called the Doomblade guy or Doomblade test or something like that. People post cards like, what about this? Still dies to Doomblade.
That's right. That's his whole thing.
It's like, what do you think about this card? Still dies to Doomblade.
Yeah, everything dies to Doomblade except Doomblade.
So
Doomblade, your Doomblade.
I think another red green one that I've been wanting to play is Polis Crusher. It's kind of a cool card. If we're going towards more like if the next expansions or whatever sets start doing more enchantments and like artifacts or whatever, I guess I think it hits. I don't know if it hits. I think it only hits enchantments. But it has protection from enchantments, which is good and bad at the same time.
Yeah. Because
you can't bestow it or anything like that, but it fucking just wrecks whips and all that stuff.
Yeah, and there's another thing we're talking about. It sees a lot of play in block.
In block, yeah.
And which is awesome because one of the main things that any block deck has to face with is Chain of the Rocks. Oh, yeah, and that's you cannot chain of the rocks this guy. This guy will crush the chain.
Whoa.
Crush, crush it. It. Crush the chain. I'm going to pull us this crush.
He's got a big foot. I think he's missing a toe.
Yeah.
He might be.
Poor guy.
He might be.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think, like, so there's a Jund deck kind of going around right now. It's kind of like a...
It's green, red, splashing black. It's not Jund. I'm just going to lay that out right now.
Well, it's the Jund colors. It is green, black, red. But I think a lot of the cards are going to be rotated out. And I think that Underworld Cerberus is going to see its day in the sun with that deck.
Ooh, you gonna put money on that one? That sounds like a bold statement.
I mean,
that's Cerberus though.
What is Underworld Cerberus?
Underworld Cerberus. It's 3 red-black for a 6/6 creature hound. Looks like he came straight out of hell.
Oh, that one.
Underworld Cerberus can't be blocked except by 3 or more creatures. Cards and graveyards cannot be the targets of spells or abilities. And then when he dies, exile it, and each player returns all creature cards from his or her graveyard to his or her hand.
That's a lot of things.
That's a lot of things. Guess what? Does not die to Doomblade.
Does not die
to Doomblade.
Does not die to Doomblade.
We know it's the best card in the set. Yeah, there you go. I'm picking up 4.
So it's what, like $2? Something? Something cheap. I think
it's mythic rare. So it's
cheap enough to just fuck it. Might as well go in and get
some. And it's not legendary, which is sweet too.
Yeah. It's not legendary.
I think he'll actually see more play in the junk decks, which is red, black, and white, I think. It's the junk colors.
I think it's just, I think junk's just like pretty much any color thrown in together that's not like
of fun. Well, there's a technical color combination, but I see like it possibly going good with, like, it. For right now, it would be good with, what's the 1 white enchantment? Rest in Peace.
Rest in Peace, or... Screws your graveyard.
Yeah, so you can, you know, you're gonna exile all the cards in your graveyard, your opponent's graveyard, which is good because then you know you have that guy out, and if they have like a white weenie strategy or things like that, you don't want them to bring back like 6 creatures just
That's
to
true.
Kill
That's
one.
A good thought.
So you have Rest in Peace, you get them away, and you send that guy in, and then you know they can't really do anything. They try to kill it. Well, they're not gonna reap the benefits from it. I mean, you're not gonna do it either, but. You know, I just think it's such a big threat, and with that, it's like, it's hard to come back from.
I think there could be a graveyard Jund.
Some kind of graveyard strategy?
Yeah, where you just fill up your graveyard, and then you bring out Underworld Cerberus, and then you sack him somehow. And so you just bring everything out of your fucking graveyard.
Yeah,
it's just nuts.
I can see that happening. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm getting some Underworld Cerberus.
So, if I had to pick, like, if I had to pick one card... to go in on, to get a playset, or even some extras. I mean, that card is pretty... When you look at it, it's pretty fucking overpowered, and all the other cards I was really talking about, like Pelucranos and Stormbreath Dragon, everyone knows those are fucking good. And Guild, I want it to be good, but it's... I wouldn't put money on it. No. But the Underworld Cerberus will be my pick. To where no one's really talking about it ever, and that would be my pick for post rotation.
All right, I say Underworld Cujo gets a thumbs up then.
Underworld Cujo.
yeah. So, anybody else have to say anything about this topic, or shall we move on?
I say buy them all up, buy everything you can, even if it's overpriced because you're gonna play it eventually. My advice is just if you're gonna play it, just buy it. Because don't let the price intimidate you. Because if you're gonna play it, you might as well just go in and not have to worry about.
What you buy all the blue cards and you screw every color. Because anything, if you're not playing blue, you're not doing it right. That's all I gotta say.
Once you go blue, that's all I got.
Yeah.
All right. So brews. We've talked about some of our brews on previous podcasts, and I mean. Any new brews or any kind of results or feedback from brews we already made?
I have one.
What'd you do? What'd you do, Hot Sauce?
I have a brew.
I like this one.
That is Turn 4 Sunbond. And it is... I pretty much read off what I wrote down of how it works out. Just
read
make it simple. Because if I start going through it in my head, I'm going to start going back and forward, and it's going to be fucking disaster.
Read that shit.
Yeah, so... Basically, it's a mono-white deck, and it's playing Sunbond, which is a card that
When you gain, it's an enchantment for 4, white and 3, and when you put it on a creature, if you gain life at any time, you put that number of counters on that creature.
Okay.
So when you read that, you're like, that's broken. That's something about that is, it's too much, you know, it's too much. It's going to be the biggest creature ever. But then again, how are you going to start gaining life? Like, people don't play life gain as a strategy. So, what I did is put in some lifelink creatures, and I put in the Ordeal of Heliod, which gives 10 life. Mm-hmm. So every time that thing triggers, well, not only does it give you 3 from the progressive attacking each turn, once it hits 3 counters, then it'll sack itself, and you'll get 10. So that thing will become a 13 or whatever.
Okay.
So anyways, here's my strategy right here. Turn 1, Hopeful Eidolon. It's a 1-1 lifelink. Turn 2, Ordeal of Heliod, whatever. I put it on that on the Hopeful Eidolon, and you attack for 2. And so it was 1, but because it gives a counter when it attacks, attack for 2, lifelink. Boom, I gain 2, no big deal. Turn 3, Hero of Erois. I don't know what his name is.
Something.
Whatever. Erois. He's the guy that makes, he's a 2-2 human 4-2 mana, white and colorless, that makes every aura after him come in 1 cheaper, 1 colorless cheaper. So when you cast him, he's only 2. That means you leave 1 mana open for like a protection spell, and you attack for 3 with that first Hopeful Eidolon guy. So they're down to 15, you're up to 25. Once again, this is only talking about, this can't include, you know, removal and all this stuff. This is just a basic strategy.
This is Christmas plan. This is best case scenario.
They're playing Christmas something slow, scenario. Whatever.
Yes. The rabbit hole.
Exactly. So now we're turn 4. This is where you win. you put Sunbond on the turn 1 creature, and you attack. You sack the Ordeal for 10 life, so that'll give him 10 1-1 counters before damage is dealt.
So he's already a 1-1. He gets the 3 counters from the Ordeal.
Yeah, so he's a 4.
And then the 10.
So he's a 14-14 with lifelink that you hit him with. And then it'll put 14 more counters on him. So now at the end of turn, he's a 28-28 lifelink.
Okay.
And
so how do you get through with that damage?
So that thing costs 3 because of the Hero of Erois or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you have 1 mana open, which you can either brave the elements or God's willing. So what I just said right now actually only brings him down to 19, right? But if you use brave the elements instead of the, and you just did that on your main, before you declared attackers, whatever, you use brave the elements, you can attack with Hero and Hopeful Eidolon, and you hit for 21. So,
nice.
Everything goes well, turn 4, attack, hit him for 21.
Nice.
I like it.
Or whatever, it would be 21 at the
have
end.
Have you
of
built it.
It
on Modo yet?
No, I have not. I haven't played it. So, I think this is all a theory.
I want to build this.
So, the deck costs, from what it seems on Tapped Out, it gets the low and it's at $16.98. So,
$17
for the whole deck that has the potential. But let's say it doesn't go the way you want it to. If you can just get the Hopeful Eidolon or something like that and keep it alive, keep something with lifelink alive and able to put the Sunbond on it, then you're going to be building up creatures like, or building that creature up like crazy.
Yeah.
And then they have like Swift Justice, which gives it first strike and lifelink. There's all kinds of ways to give your shit lifelink.
Yeah.
And make sure that you can throw that on there. Ordeal and all this stuff is just to make it quick, you know, painful death. But I think there's good ways to kill him in turn 5 or 6, even if it didn't go the way you wanted it to. That's it for me, though.
Yeah, you have to put up a link on our thing for the Tapped Out, so people
can see it. Yeah, I have it on my Tapped Out. It's at TEH Hot Sauce. Tay Hot Sauce.
It's already on our Facebook page as well.
It's on our Facebook page.
Oh, yeah, so. That's right.
But either way, you'll have to go and scavenge through the internet to find it.
What would you name it?
Turn 4 Sunbond Victory.
All right. Nice. So, Sunbro Victory.
Yes.
Praise the sun!
But that's it. That's my little cheap brew. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But either way, mono white with all the heroic stuff, it's like a good cheap way to get into standard stuff. I mean, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I just thought of Birdman. Birdman! Gets his power from the sun.
That's a good one.
With every attack, it doubles.
If it was that, what's that, that white creature where he's like, there's birds in the background, he's like flying with like a whip or something like that.
Yeah. That's the 5/5 flyer or whatever. He's on his, what the hell is that shit that rides behind the horse and the carrot? What is it?
Chariot?
It's the Omnithar.
Thanks, right? Fucking hilarious.
I don't know the name of it, but yeah, that's what it makes me think of.
It's like flying.
Yeah, it's like
flying. It's a flying chariot.
It's like Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. I wonder if the Greek Santa, Claus rides a chariot. We never thought of that.
Back in that time, yeah.
Yeah, back then.
Back then it wasn't Corvette red. No, from the past 50 years. This is, no, back then it was all flared out.
This is when we're starting out, right? He just had like a chariot, like some rundown piece of crap. Yeah. And he's like, now he's in like midlife crisis, and he's like, oh, I need a Ferrari red. Sled, man.
Exactly.
So Santa was actually a Greek god.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man,
absolutely.
It's all making sense.
God is presence.
Yeah.
Heliod is Santa.
The god.
Oh, man. They need to do
magic. Dear Heliod, I want a foil prophet of Grufix for
that's
Christmas.
That's alternate art for the god.
Magic needs to do like a, Wizards need to do like a holiday set where it's like, they have like a Santa planeswalker and like Easter bunny and like, all these different.
So fucking stupid.
Like the tooth fairy is like a blue-white creature.
I'm thinking of, like, Nightmare Before Christmas when he goes in the woods and he sees all the... On each tree it has, like, an icon of each holiday or whatever. And you're going to have that symbol be, like, the card symbol or the mana cost or something weird. What's up?
Oh, I'm glad we finally figured out where Santa Claus came from.
Mystery solved.
Any more brews? Anything else?
I mean, I can go through my... I think I've talked about it enough, but I'll just touch on that my black-white humans deck, I'm pretty fucking satisfied with. I mean, I'm sure there's some tweaks here and there I can still make, but for the most part, I'm happy. I'm running some Imposing Sovereigns, Banisher Priests. I run two Swift Justice, but I...
love
those, yeah, I love them, but those are the first things I side out in a matchup. Soldier of Pantheons, Buna Erebos... some Tormented Heroes, Xanthar Necromancer, which is just the fucking linchpin to the whole fucking deck. Some Spirit Heliods, which I didn't even think of until Hot Sauce pointed out that I should probably do that. Phoenix Leaders, Daring Skyjacks, Agent of Fates.
Asians of Fates?
Asian. Of Fates.
Ding, 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 ding.
racist. And some other shit. I played it in the Versus video, and I'll put a link up. But I'm pretty happy with the deck so far. It's a, you know, tier 2 1.5 deck or whatever. But I enjoy playing it, like just against you guys or in the tournament room on Modo, the tournament practice room. I'm really happy with it, and I haven't fucked with Pains here though. I haven't put it in.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's. It's great without it. I might try and throw it in there.
I've seen like mono black aggro decks with it in there.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Mm-hmm. So I might actually pick some of those up while they're cheap.
Give it a shot.
Yeah.
They're like a dollar, I think.
Yeah, they're pretty fucking
dollar
cheap.
$1.50 or something.
So, I mean, but you know, I don't have like a... It's like a 50-50 win percentage with that deck. You know, what really fucks me up is Stormbreath Dragon. I just cannot deal with Stormbreath Dragon.
You have no answer to Stormbreath.
I side in my Doomblades.
But you can make them, remember, you can make them sacrifice attacking creature.
Right. But usually by the time they have Stormbreath Dragon out, they have either some mana dorks or something else out on the board. That and Mono Black are my hardest matchups. So like Green Red Monsters and Mono Black, I have a really hard time with. Which that sucks because those are like two of the top three fucking decks right now. I feel
you need to run more removal. I think to be able to combat those. You need
sideboard like, a you know, like shit ton of removal.
Ultimate Price, Doomblades.
Yeah, I think I need
Celestial Flare.
Yeah, I need some more I need the sideboard to be ironed out all the kinks. Yeah.
More robust.
Yes, but I mean that's it for my brew. Other than that, I did I built a. Phoenix fucking Defender mill deck online, and I'm just not. It's.
I love that name though.
Something's wrong with it. I don't know.
Something's wrong.
I need more removal or something.
Long enough or something.
Removals or counters or something.
Yeah.
Something to stall out the board long enough.
I was thinking I need to like make it like my actual mill deck that I have now, but then I was like. Well, why don't I just play my fucking mill deck I have now? Like, so I don't know. I'm it's a bug deck, so black, blue, green. But I need to figure it out. It's not perfect yet by any means. It's not even great by any means, but
I tried.
Yeah. That's and about that's it. What counts.
Yeah.
And knowing is half the battle, that you suck.
G.I. Joe, you suck.
Oh, man.
Any other brews?
No, I need to start working on my brews, but...
I know, you're boring, dude. Red Monsters. My name's fucking Reich. I play Green Red Monsters. I bleed it. Green Red out of my page, and that's all.
I do. I pee it and poop it, too.
Everything. You should get that checked out.
Yeah. Maybe I should go to the doctor. Like, yeah, that's not normal.
But I get these Green Red Monsters coming out of my dick. Yes. Dear God, then.
This is nasty.
I've been toying around with like an artifact deck, revolves around Trading Post and Bubbling Cauldron. It's kind of more of a control deck. Pretty much what I want to do is, you know, use Angelic Accord, Bubbling Cauldron, Trading Post. And then what I was thinking is pairing it with black for hand disruption and all the removal. And pretty much my game plan is to gain a bunch of life and just kill them with angels. Pretty much really good, because then I have like Elixir Immortality, stuff like that, where Trading Post allows me to effectively trade my resources for what I need at the time. So if I need a blocker, pay a life and a mana, boom, goat comes out. If I need to, I can sack the goat to the Trading Post and get a trade them up for an angel. You know, the goat becomes an angel. I could, if they end up killing my Trading Post or Bubbling Cauldron, I could discard an artifact or sack a creature, actually, with one mana, and I can bring it back. I was thinking around a bunch of Thoughtseize, Duresses, Downfalls, Ultimate Prices, Devour
Pledges. What about the Sanguine Bond?
Sanguine Bond would be good. I think that would do a lot of work. But I don't know if I'm going to have enough slots to fit it in. And I think I want to...
Well, that's what he's doing, though. He's creating, his strategy is more angels, but...
Yeah, when did angels start becoming, like, crazy guys?
Dude, it's a card.
It's like a token deck.
You're paying people behind you, like, saving you, and not just fucking bashing your face in with a sword.
They're pretty crazy, according to the Magic lore.
Yeah.
Like, they're pretty, like, angry and fiery fucking... people with wings.
Because they have wings. They have no junk, is why.
Yeah.
Like that movie.
They're all Barbie dolled up.
Yeah, they're just angry.
Yeah.
Angry, junkless angels. It's actually the single of my new album.
Yeah. That's cool. Xanthrid Necromancer deck. And where you put a bunch of humans, they die, and they come back as zombies.
Right.
Well, I'm like the good side, you're like the dark side or whatever.
The dark side.
Where all my goats turn into angels, because they've been really good.
I mean, that's every goat's dream, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Turn into an angel.
This goat's is meh.
I can have wings, meh.
Just ever since Trading Post was spoiled, I've always wanted to do something with it. Because, it's a versatile card, and it's very flavorful. I mean, Trading Post, you got some mana and a creature.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it is. You go to the Trading Post, and what do? You trade it up for an angel. Or you trade it up for 4 life. You do something like that, which I'm trying to work with. Either that, or I might go like the burn route and just... but it's more of the style of what I like to do. Just control the board and just attrition. I'm just going to slowly make you submit. I'm going to make you concede. I'm going to make you realize that you have no hope. And then you're just gonna forfeit.
I feel sad now.
Yeah, I'm depressed.
Yeah. Like
turbo fog.
Well, exciting stuff. We actually got our first listener question.
Our first listener.
Just our first listener. Period. But first listener question.
But we are actually gonna we're doing it now because it's a new segment.
Oh, yes. That is right. Thank you. We are introducing a new segment called Noob's Knowledge. Noob's Knowledge! So, this is where we're going to really talk about how we can help the new player and give them some good tips, instructions, knowledge, dropping knowledge. I had a different thing in mind, but this listener sent in a super good question. Really good. When he sent it and I read it, I was like, damn, I had to like think about it, you know? So Neil Logan sent a message saying, hey guys, I started playing around the same time you did, which was around Gatecrash. So I'm enjoying the podcast. Thought I'd ask a quick question. I don't play Magic Online, and I only play Magic the Gathering at my local game store a couple nights a week at most. So I was looking for ideas to playtest decks when I've made a deck at home and have no opponents to playtest against. It sucks making a deck and going to Friday Night Magic to find out my deck really isn't working because I didn't get a chance to playtest it. I've had the usual look around online, and the best idea I saw was to pick two colors, make a few piles of creatures separated by mana cost, and shuffling them face down, flipping over the top card on the relevant deck each turn, and see how your deck can deal with it. Do you guys have any other ideas or suggestions? Which, I think we kind of got spoiled, because we hopped, not only did we hop into Magic Online pretty quickly, but we also had each other to fucking playtest against, even though none of us at the time were running, like, really good decks, but we were all just playtesting our brews against one another. So, you know, what suggestions do you guys have to help him figure out how good his deck's going?
Start going around the room. Hot sauce. Start with you. What do you
got? Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez.
Put you on the spot here.
Well, everyone else will talk about the other ones, so I'll just say what I'm thinking of is that get on, like, Tapped Out or something like that.
What's Tapped Out?
TappedOut.com. It's just a deck building website. .net.com.edu.
.org.
.org. .magic. So, you get on that, you put in all the cards that you want, you just type them in manually, like 4x of this, 2x of this. You get the deck built, and then there's a community that is pretty good at, they're pretty fast responders. You know, if you ask a question, hey, what is this deck going to be good, or what do I need, all this, whatever you want to ask, and people will be browsing through, viewing your deck, and giving suggestions, and that's a good thing. You can get a few decks up there, and they'll just give suggestions. Oh, I've seen this before. Oh, this card is probably better instead of this card. You'll start seeing that some of the cards you put in there, I'm guessing, will get replaced by another card. Where that card that you thought would be the best for that deck is going to be another card that's similar, but it's the one that gets that the one that you want to play. You know what I mean? It's the one that's all everyone plays. So it could be like I don't know, it could be even like some kind of removal, and then they're going to go like, oh, maybe you should just play a Dreadbore or something like that. You know, even though you want, it's the same idea. You wanted to destroy something, but here's the better way to do it. Here's right. the easier way to cast it. Here's this and that, whatever. So I think there's a lot of ways to find out if your deck's
viable.
You want to get the best cards of that slot that you want to fill.
It's feedback without having to go, like, talk to somebody. You can just post it and then go to work and then come back and hopefully there's a suggestion.
Yeah. And then when you have it laid out in front of you, the deck, you can just, it's just nice to be able to look at all the cards and it's just easy to subtract and add and just figure it out. I mean, when it's all in front of you in the same place, it's just easy to work with.
Yeah. When I put a bunch of my decks on Tapped Out, nobody was commenting. And so what I did was I posted the link in the Deck Building Magic subreddit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, you know, I need some help. What do you guys think? And then so they went to, you know, through the link to Tapped Out. And then that actually got That's people perfect. To look at it. So That's the perfect if nobody's giving you suggestions, post it on the Deck Builder on subreddit or whatever. And that'll help with that.
Right. What do you think, Rick?
I think that's a good suggestion. But also I like even just if you want to play your brew and you want to see how it does against, like, you know, tier one decks. Another thing to do is just to go online, go to like one of the, I think it's like TCG Player allows you to do it. There's a little link that I think it's if you click on the card or something like that. It's one of these sites, one of the magic sites that allows you to print out the card. So you can go and actually just, you know, proxy a deck. Just pick one of like, you know, like red green monsters or something like that and print out or even just write it out like on, you know, paper or something like that and just put them into sleeves with, you know, just cards that are already in a sleeve. And just, like, put the, you know, the attributes and the name of the card in there and then kind of play it against yourself that way. That seems like a good way to kind of play out and see, you know, is red-green monsters going to...
Play against yourself how, though?
I mean, just, you know,
just,
like...
Just draw seven cards and just
yeah, put them on the table. And you pilot both decks.
What you do is you sit on one side of the table, you put seven cards down, you run to the other side of the table, put seven cards down, you just keep running back and forth, you know?
And you hit the little the little timer.
The chest
thing, and, you know, you just do that.
But, talk to yourself, hello, good sir.
Yeah. You talk smack to yourself, and... I mean, that's one idea, other than going... you know, I think one of probably the best way to do it, but it's the most costly way is go sign up with MTGO It's like $10 to start playing the Magic Online version, just to get started, and then buy the cards on that and put it together and play against some of the guys on
yeah, Knife City was suggesting something online. Like that too.
Yeah, that's probably the
easiest answer.
That's the easiest, but it costs the most money. Yeah. It's the most expensive. So if you have some disposable income, definitely do that.
But sign up. You know what? With playing yourself, I was going to say that I play myself all the time. Like, it's constant.
Daily.
It's every day. Like, girlfriend's home, girlfriend's not. It doesn't really matter. I'm just going to go in the corner, and I'm going to play with myself. And so I always have a lot of decks that I brew. What do you guys think I'm talking about? Okay. So I always have multiple decks, and then I'm playing with this.
You love decks, dude.
I'm not sauce. Favorite that they're both the same size. You know, they're equal in my eyes. All decks are the same to me.
They're all 60.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, as long as you cut the decks, dude, it's fine.
But I do this like on the weekly. Seriously though, for real, I do that like on the weekly. I get my decks and I lay them out and I play myself. I do that all the time because I can't play with you guys all the time. Moto, like you said, it's expensive. I'd rather just spend the money in paper, so that's fine. But besides me playing myself, my city, go ahead, take the floor.
Take my. I just have this image of you like huddled in the corner of your front room, just playing with yourself.
Oh, dude, I hope you don't play yourself.
Your dog,
at the table.
Your dogs are watching. Dude. You're like, what is he doing?
That's what it is. turn their head.
Yeah. You know,
but, avert your eyes.
But I think Moto is probably my pick for what you should do. So, especially if you're making, like, brews, like, your own deck, like, you're not just copying a winning deck online, because if you're copying a winning deck online, you don't need anybody to help you figure out which cards you need to play, because they're playing the best cards, you know? But if you're making your own brew, usually it's pretty cheap on Moto. Like, I built my mill deck online for probably, like, $12 before I started... So I built it online for about $12 with the Shocklands and everything. And I started playing, and then I figured out, oh, I need this card, so I picked up some Heroes Downfalls, and then maybe I really should try what's the blue black planeswalker?
Oh, Ashiok.
Yeah, I was like, oh, maybe I should try Ashiok, and I bought a couple of those, and then through doing that, I built my fucking. Like, pretty much perfect mill deck on Moto, and then I was able to go back and build it in paper because I had playtested it on Moto. And sure, it's more expensive, but that's how I did it, you know?
If you don't need to buy the Heroes Downfalls, don't buy the Heroes Downfalls. It's a lot of money, exactly. All that kind of stuff can stack up $2, and you need four of them, or what, I don't know how much it is online, but,
yeah, but
it just goes up and up and up. But if you want to just play your homebrew, just stick with the cheap stuff, find a cheaper replacement. It's not going to play out that differently if you have the cheaper version of whatever better card it is. I mean, it'll play out better. You want to have the better stuff, but if you wanted to see how the deck plays out, you don't have to go ahead and buy four Thought Seizes.
Yeah.
Throw in Duresses or whatever. You know, that's fine. It's fine for now.
Just spend
it's nearly the same thing.
Spend $10 to get on Moto. Spend another $10 to buy all your cards in your brew.
Yeah.
And then just play test, you know? And a lot of the cards are cheaper on Moto.
Yeah, a lot of the commons are like a quarter of a cent or something like that.
Yeah,
not
something
even like
ridiculous.
A whole cent.
For all the new players, really, just like anything, anything racing, any kind of sport like this, you want to buy. You always want to have the best version of whatever it is. But when people spend the extra money on their decks, they're only doing it because they know how to pilot their deck perfectly already. Now they need to spend the money to make every little thing count.
Yeah.
But if you don't know how to pilot the deck that well yet, just like all of us here, we're not perfect at it. I'd say that Quickness is probably the best at piloting what he has, and. But either way, what I'm saying is that if you get the cheaper version of it, that's not going to be what's going to make you win or lose if you get the Duress opposed to the Thought Seize, I don't think. There could be one scenario, but really, just learn how to pilot the deck perfectly, and then you can worry about getting that extra stuff, If you need to, if you just need to learn how to fucking shoot bow and arrow, just buy a bow and arrow. Don't have to worry about buying the best one right now. You're going to get good at it, or with playing guitar, buy the $200 guitar, don't buy the fucking Les Paul, because that's not going to matter yet.
Yeah.
So then, once you start playing and you start, thinking like, I'm going to invest in Magic, then you can start dropping money and buying playsets and stuff like that. But I don't even recommend spending that much money until you know how to pilot and know all the rules and can know that this is what's holding me back, not my deck.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. That wrapped up that suggestion in a bow is that
You know, if just playtest your not shitty. Just playtest. Yeah, I mean, it is. Most of my brews are shitty, you know, whatever.
They're fun, yeah.
So playtest your deck, and then, you know, once you get more comfortable with the game or more comfortable with your own deck, then, you know, and you get suggestions and whatever, then, you know, start dropping a little bit more money. And the other suggestion I was going to say is, you know, just go to your local game store. Like, before.
Make friends.
Yeah, make friends and go to your local game store.
I think we all play this because we don't like making friends.
Yeah.
Magic is kind of like, no, I'm not really into, oh, hey, guys, what's up? I'm so-and-so, and I'm really confident. Nah, maybe not.
I mean, that's what I did before you guys started playing, was I just walked into, I think I already told the story how it was all awkward. I walked into the local game store, and I just was like, hey, help me build my deck, or teach me how to play, or whatever.
Teach me how to Dougie.
And I remember, like, a week or two after I started playing, this kid who'd been playing for, like, a year just sat down with me and, like, told me what he thought I should do with my deck. And so it was cool. He touched my deck, and I was grateful, and, you know, it was nice. But what's your suggestion, Quickness?
It's not really a suggestion, because I feel like you guys touched on pretty much all the major topics that we wanted to cover. It's just more of supplementing on the ideas that were presented. Like with the proxy idea, I know a lot of people online, what they've been doing recently is apparently there's dry erasable, like, paper or something that you can cut into the shape of a card, and you can write what it is, and then you can put it in the sleeve. And
like an eraser board or something like that? But it's like
something paper. Like that. Yeah. So you can erase, like, you can erase on it, and then you can write whatever card it's supposed to be on it, which is really good. It's kind of like the proxy idea.
Yeah.
Like on what Jace was talking about, how he just goes and plays his decks and stuff like that. Normally what I do when I'm brewing a deck, I'll sit there and I'll have all the cards laid out in front of me. So I'll have the whole deck and I'll just sit there and I'll look at it. Like, okay, so if I was going to face a mono black deck, let's just say, what strategy do I want to take? What cards are going to get me to win, to the victory? What cards do I feel like I really don't have answers, so I need to find something? So, like, say I try and take out a Desecration Demon, but I don't have a reliable answer to take it out, and I feel like that card's going to just overrun me if I don't answer it soon, or if I have stuff to sacrifice, if I'm not, like, I have a lot of creatures to play out. So I'll sit there and be like, okay, well, what cards do I have that can answer this card? And I'll sit there, and that helps me think of, like, ways of improving the deck or going against certain matchups. What I've also been really a big part of, introduced all these other guys to it, is Cockatrice.
Which that sounds dirty.
It is pretty dirty.
I remember the first time he's like, I want to introduce you to my cockatrice. And I was, hey, buddy. I've seen your cockatrice. I don't want anything to do with it. Okay? Don't ask me why I saw it.
But it's a free program. You can go ahead and download it. If you just Google it, it'll pop up. And what it does is it has a database of all the cards that ever been printed. And then what it does is you can go in, you can build a deck, and you can pull from all these different cards, you can make them into a deck, and then what you do is you go online, there's rooms in there with people playing, and they have their own brews, or they have their tier 1 decks that they kind of want to learn how to pilot better, and then you go join in the room, and then you just start playing. The only thing is you have to, it's not like Magic Online or Duels of the Planeswalkers, where it handles the rules for you. This, you have to announce your triggers, you have to create your tokens, you have to make sure you voice what you're doing to your opponent through chat, or if you know them, you end up knowing them well, you can get on Skype and just, you know, verbally tell them. But I think it's the cheapest and it's the closest to paper Magic.
Yeah, it's just like a program, an online program that just allows you just to play Magic. But you have to know the rules. I mean, if you don't feel comfortable with, like, all the rules and how everything is, then it might not be a good thing because it doesn't hold your hand or anything like that.
Yeah, I think that would have been my number one suggestion, minus the fact that you have to handle your own rules and triggers and everything. So, like, even though us four, we're still pretty, I mean, we're confident in the rules and the stack and blah, 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 but we still have questions, you know, we still don't know. And so not only do we have questions and not know some stuff, but your opponent might not know, and there's going to be some misplays, and you might not actually, the cards might not interact the way you guys think they are interacting. So, but like when me and a quickness play on Cockatrice, like, yeah, it helps when we're brewing or whatever, and we get on Skype and we fucking talk about it, and at least we can agree if we're misplaying something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But like, yeah, that's the cheapest, that's the easiest. But if you're new or somewhat new, like, it's just also it's not for me.
Sometimes it's just like there's some it's the internet, so there's always going to be some assholes out there that are just like going to completely just not play.
Not on the internet. There's always assholes everywhere.
They're going to just do like, you know, be like, oh no, because like if you kill something, you literally they have to like remove it off the board. Like you have to click on your thing and like drag it to your graveyard. It's like their card. And if people don't play the rules or whatever, I mean, you can always kick them from the room or just join a different room, but there's always going to be those guys out there just kind of want to ruin your game.
That's the one big thing that turned me away from it. Like, I did it.
And it's not official. It's not an official thing, so it's just like a almost like a pirated type program.
I played it a little bit, and it's just
I'm a big advocate of it because I just like having all the cards at my disposal. So I'm like, hey, I really like this card. I want to build something around it. So I can go in. I have the whole database. I can search by like creature, enchantment. I can search by colors. I can search by set. And then I have them all right in front of me. And I go through and I just read all the cards. Like, what do these cards work together? Is this what I want to do? And I'm more of the person where I'm more willing to invest into the better stuff. Just because I know I'm just gonna put myself out there and I'm just gonna start playing it. I don't care if I mess up. I don't care if, you know, whoever says I'm wrong or whatever, if I did it completely wrong. It's a learning experience for me. So I'm gonna learn, and I'm gonna learn by just actually doing it, and then I'll get that knowledge, and then I'll know for next time, hey, I can't do this, or this is the correct line to play to make because they have this or something like that. So that's why, like, I drop, you know, when I could, the money for the control deck that I have. It's a lot of money. Jace's, Sphinxes, you know, they're all $20 cards each. You run four of them. But I was like, I'm just going to play it. And I'm eventually going to learn how to pilot to the best of my ability. I just have to play it, you know. There's nothing that substitutes just playing the deck and playing against every kind of deck. And that's why I kind of like Cockatrice, because you can brew. It's a good setting for brewing, and it's a good setting for getting a lot of experience.
I think those are all of them are great suggestions. I mean, there's different methods on whatever you feel comfortable with. You know, there's a way to play test your deck, you know.
What was the guy's name?
The guy's name? Neil Logan?
So, Neil Logan, I know you're listening because you said you would, hopefully.
You promised, Neil. You promised.
If you want, drop a line to us on our Facebook, and I'll be more than happy if you try to go through the Cockatrice route, or maybe, you know, we can meet up and you can have your deck put together. I'm more than willing to, you know, battle it out, see what it is. I want this podcast to really take off, and I feel like we have to be, you know, very good to our listeners, and, you know, I'm willing to go that extra step for them.
No, just Neil.
Just you, Neil.
Number one fan.
We need to whore ourselves out to everybody.
So, if you're getting on Cockatrice, or if you go on Modo, or, you know, if you want to take the proxy route, just drop us a line. We'll see what we can do. More than happy to help you out.
Yeah, whichever route you pick, let us know. Yeah, let us know how it worked out, too. So if you hop on Cockatrice, let us know. We'll hop on there and help you figure it out. Or on Modo, we'll send you our Modo names. Or if you just go to your local store Tapped Out, you know, let us know how it worked out. And, I mean, this is not only for Neil, but for everybody. Like I said, we were lucky enough to have each other to play test off of and just hang out with. I mean, fuck, we've known each other forever, so it's not like it's awkward meeting somebody for the first time, having to sit down with them at the kitchen table. So I think that's a problem we didn't have to deal with in the beginning, but that is a problem for somebody who's not plugged into the community or doesn't have friends who are interested in playing Magic or doesn't have expendable income, you know? So, wow, this was actually an informative episode. Like, I feel like we accomplished something.
Yeah, snoozeville.
No one wants to hear advice.
Hey, we made plenty of dick jokes, okay?
That's not enough. But not enough poop jokes, though.
Not enough. Well, we need to even it out. If you have any good poop jokes,
now's the time.
If lanscouldkill@gmail.com, send us your best poop jokes or post your best poop jokes on Facebook.
Or in the...
We'll send you an eye gouge in the mail. Signed.
Signed.
Yes. That is a promise. We will send first class...
No offense if you're a Cyclops, by the way.
Or you only have one power and one toughness.
Yeah.
Should get that checked out.
Yeah, I'm gonna get that checked out. Anyways, this has been episode 4 of If Lance Could Kill. Check out all our shit on the internet. I've listed them enough. We'll have it all in the show notes.
We're still doing verses. That's our second biggest thing besides the podcast. We're just getting verses in as often as possible. Jace versus Vraska just came out, so going to be having videos on that. And that's a good thing to have videos on because everyone's going to be playing that, at least for a little bit. So there's some good cards in that. I'd recommend picking it up because you're going to get your money back more or less on the set. So it's kind of like, why not just pick it up and then get a friend, play with it. But if you don't want to, you know, go to the LGS and play test or whatever, just watch us. We're going to go multiple games on it.
Go pick it up. Introduce a friend to Magic.
What I was going
to
say is also along the lines of the Versus series, if you want to stop by on our Facebook, send us a message. Say you have like a brew you want to see. We'll see what we can do to put it together.
That's a good idea too.
We'll put together the brew or whatever deck you want to see, and then we'll go ahead and versus it against, you know, tier one decks, our other brews and stuff like that, and you can see firsthand how it plays out.
That's a good idea. Perfect. Yeah, good time to wrap it up. This is Knife City.
This is a Quickness.
This is
Reich.
Hot sauce.
Question mark?
Is this right?
It's been episode 4. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. Peace. And shout out to Crazy Fred's. He smells so good. He smells so good.
Did he smell good when you went in there today?
No, that's the weird thing he did. Like, I walked in, and, like, I didn't smell his smell.
But it's weird, though, when you go in there and you get within, like, the 20 feet of him, whatever. I remember me and Nice City were looking at each other, and we're both thinking the same thing, but why? Why would we ever think about how a man smells? We both were. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with us?
It's like that one uncle that always, like, you just recognize him by the smell. Like, there's a familiarity in the smell. Always wears the same cologne. Probably a little bit too much.
Too much, of course. I mean,
too much.
It's a given.
But it's not, like, horrible. It's not a horrible smell, but it's probably too much.
It's taken too far.
I want to ask him. I want to, hey, what do you use? So I can spray it all in my garage, and so when we walk in, it's like, hey, we're at Crazy Friends.
Yo, that's, this is the creepiest episode ever.
I approve.